Hi everyone, my name is Azam Rais and this is Poet X. Poet X is a show that features poetry from different poets. Every episode of Poet X will be a collection of poems that revolve around one theme. This week's theme is To Be Heard, Not Seen. We're going to start off the show with a piece from Lisa Nomarini called Becoming 19.
They say you either sink or swim. Well, I've learned that some waters you just can't swim. But sinking sounds so subtle, I prefer the term drowning. In protest, it is kicking and screaming till your last breath. There's something beautiful about the rage of a 19-year-old girl. When she's in between the experiences she's collected and the years she has left to grow, in between her wisdom and her naive heart, in between her acceptance and her frustration, she does not know what to do with her hands. Maybe, when I'm older, I'll learn to sink without a sound. When I'm grown up enough to know better, but right now I don't know better. Not when I feel like I haven't fought enough yet to just give in. When my lack of understanding makes me fight only harder for the things I believe in, for the ones I love. The fight adults tell me is a sure loss, I got no chance against it, well fine. I'll take that loss, but not before I'm done giving it my all. Not before the sword in my hand falls due to my own strength waning. When I hear that clatter on the ground, I'll surrender to sinking and to losing the fight. But if that's the case, then I won't just learn loss in theory. From the stories they tell me, from the precautionary steps they teach me to take, I'll graduate the course with practical credits. It is knowing that I didn't just choose safe over sorry before understanding what it is I'm gonna have to be sorry for. Knowing that I've messed up so badly, but putting the broken pieces together and making something new, it is growing up, surviving, with scars on my heart and living with the stitch marks to prove that I made it, accepting, with cuts and blisters on my hands from holding on too tightly to the things that I later learned to just let go. It is fear of becoming like my mother, only to end up becoming like my mother, but realizing that there's nothing wrong with that because she's both beautiful and strong, and I will only learn to walk with my chin up, heart braced against the world, fearless. I'll look back and know that I didn't just disappear, like some kind of magic trick, didn't just slip through the trap door when no one was looking. I existed, quite significantly, quite the way I wanted to. And they'll remember me brave, even though stupidly brave, but that's okay. Because stupid I can learn to fix, but brave is something I will always want to be, really. It won't even matter if no one remembers me, at least I'll remember me, and maybe that's all I'm asking for. There's something beautiful. I believe that there's something beautiful about becoming 19. Thank you.
So that was Lisa Nomarini, one of our youngest and very talented poets. She was performing this piece called Becoming 19, and I think one line that really struck me was that she said, "They'll remember me brave, even though stupidly brave, but that's okay." Stupidly brave. See, that's a term that I think resonates with a lot of young minds today, because a lot of our decisions are being doubted by our elders sometimes, and you know, they say that, "Oh, you're being stupid for making this decision." But sometimes you have to be stupidly brave. And even if you make mistakes, it's okay, as Lisa said. Sometimes trying is what's more important, and you have to take risks in life. So have you ever heard the saying, children are to be seen, not heard? I think I used to hear that a lot, because as a kid I used to babble on and on, and my dad used to always say, "Azam, you know, you need to be seen, not heard." And I think this kind of plays into the whole mindset that, you know, young voices don't matter. I'm not saying that my dad implied that at the time. It's just, you know, telling me to shut up, of course. But, you know, this kind of saying kind of goes on a lot about the message that, you know, young voices don't matter. We see that a lot in news presses nowadays, and local issues revolving around how young voters don't have a say in things. So this first episode is a tribute to the young voices who were brave enough to come and perform for us, who honour us every day by performing poetry and are brave enough to spill their guts out on stage. This first episode is a tribute and a dedication to them, and it's called to be heard, not seen. As young poets, we all have space for learning and improvement, and part of that is making mistakes in life. Our next poet, Nadia, tells her story in her poem, Paper Cuts.
My hands tremble as they flip the page, soft paper cutting my finger. It hurts, but really, there's no real harm, so I ignore it. Yet the sting still lingers. I read on silently, enjoying a piece, when another sheet slices at my fragile skin. I yelp in surprise, jerking my hand away. But the real pain has yet to begin. I finish my book happy, but then turn to see. Sequels and prequels stacked up high, staring at me, daring me to read. So I crack my knuckles with a determined sigh. I breeze steadily through black and white pages, intent on my goal, maintaining my guard. Tiny incisions pattern my dainty hands, though never once do I break my stoic facade. I begin to tire of the never-ending barrage, the spiteful attacks from little cart soldiers. My hands start trembling as the aches compound. They see this, so their assaults become bolder. They cut up my arms with papery daggers. The vicious cart soldiers offer no reprieve. I wish I could blame them, but I suppose it's my fault. I always did wear my heart on my sleeve. I want to give up, perhaps take a long break. A tempting box of Tic Tacs beckon lovingly. But if I stop now, I'll never reach the end. Continuing is the only real way to be free. Just as the attacks brink on unbearable, I turn the page, rejoice, the final afterword. Beaming with joy, I dance victoriously. Angry cries of the soldiers passing unheard. But when I move my arms, the wounds burn fierce. A memory of a burden I once had to bear. They still hurt like hell, and some of them will scar. But cuts will heal nicely with tender loving care. So cart soldiers aren't fatal, but they can make you feel bad. Although your friends and parents may shake their heads and tut. Sticks and stones, they say. Yes, maybe sticks and stones. But mean words hurt you as much as paper cuts.
That was Nadia with Paper Cuts. Sometimes as poets, we face a fear of our own poetry. We're afraid of what we write, because sometimes when we write it and other people listen to it or they read it, we fear the retribution, we fear association to our image, we fear the harm it does to our identity. But we here at PoetX, we believe that you should not have that fear. That despite those poems causing you fear, you should still have it heard. Because art is art. Poetry is poetry. And irrespective of what you fear, we want to hear those poems. So this is what we offer you at PoetX. A chance to be unknown, a chance to be invisible, but yet still a chance to be heard. So from time to time, PoetX will be featuring poetry that have been written anonymously by poets. Unknown authors, anonymous and invisible. So here at PoetX, you don't have to tell us your name. You just have to tell us your story. In line with our theme of powerful young voices this week, we introduce our next and final poem of this episode. Our next poet, although young, has much experience in performing in the local poetry scene. His piece resonates with us because it talks about being brave in the face of personal complications. This is Brother by Shawal.
In the corner of your tiny car, my body tried as hard as it could to sink into the cushioning of your rigid seats. My hands gripped for dear life onto a plastic comb I had clasped in my hand. Its thin teeth took shelter underneath my fingernails and bit into my flesh until miniature scarlet rivers began to trickle down the relief of my palms. Pain was the only distraction I could salvage, the only thing that could divert myself from your rampant anger, chastisement derived from the actions of somebody else. I guess you just needed someone to yell at, talk to, and as always, I was just convenient. As your raging clamor grew stronger, more and more words began to define themselves within your familiar cacophony. I began to catch phrases in your breath such as, "This is your fault. Everyone hates me. Mother always loved you more." It sounded a lot like the death threats you used to read me goodnight. I felt like I was 8 years old again. I cried like I was 8 years old again. Salt water poured down my face as my eyes turned to storm clouds. The lightning in my chest ignited words that have sat dormant at the tip of my tongue for years. My voice boomed like thunder. My sentences flowed like the currents of torrential gale. However, the whispers in the wind told you that I could hardly call you brother. There was a silence. You then said with bitter gall, "After all I've done for you. After all I've done for you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for driving me places when it were convenient. For feeding me when you had to. Thank you for making quick work of my confidence, for never being there when I needed you. Thank you for turning the corner closest to our bedroom door a bomb shelter. Thank you for blowing up whenever things felt normal. Thank you for being the bomb. Thank you for treating me like less of a sibling and more like a cross between your diary and a punching bag. Thank you for the blood in my sister's mouth and the tears in my mother's eyes. Thank you for the collective of our pain, anxiety, and fear. Thank you for the sordid whimpering I always hear whenever your younger sister begins to open her mouth. Thank you for the mental imprint your knuckles have made against my vertebrae. It has sunk into my spinal fluid and now supports me like a second backbone. It courses through my body like anesthesia, neutralizing my seething grudge to nearly pure apathy, a painkiller, numbing my nerves to even the mention of you. So now, when the dagger-like sharpness of your words cuts open my heart, I can no longer feel the wound, but yet it still bleeds. At least now, I can't feel myself dying. And yes, I know that the clockwork time bomb of your emotions is out of your control, and that there were never any red or blue wires I could have clipped to defuse you, and I understand you have been workshopping ways to delay time. And to be honest, within brief moments when a silent truce is laid, when the side effects of our virulent indifference subsides, I can see you as family. But that other word, however, brother, is a word too foreign for me to understand. It is something I have lived without for such a long time that I'm not even sure whether I actually know what it means to be one, to you. Sometimes I wonder whether we're more alike than people think. Like maybe you're just a poet like me. Like your sharp, cold tongue has always been writing poems into us. Like the bruises on my body have always just been spaces between stanzas. Like we are just plain pieces of paper cut out along the edges of broken glass. The blank spaces where your words come to die. And no matter how many times you try to rewrite them, scribble scratch them, to the point where tears begin to break through the crevices in our tear ducts, your words always bleed. And ink stains hardly ever fade. After we finished our screaming, I mean confessions, I mean therapy session, I mean conclusion, I mean conversation, after you had inscribed your thoughts into me, and I, for once, had written part of this poem into you. You hugged me. Your melancholy touch wrapped around my body and ran down my back as if it were trying to erase the memories engraved in my skin, as if it were that easy. In my ear, you whispered you were sorry. I couldn't bring myself to say, "Thank you. Thank you."
And that was Shawal with Brother. So that's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed our first episode. The next episode will be in 2 weeks' time, and if you want to get the next episode automatically, Subscribe to tehalia.my on iTunes or any other podcast services you use. A big thank you again to the brave and talented poets featured in this episode, Lisa Nurmarini, Nadia, and Shawal. Credits also go to Safwan Siddiq, who is our producer, Farah Hanis, our designer, and myself, Azan Raiz, as the host and director of Poet X. Poet X is a production of tehalia.my. Go to our website to find out about other podcast shows. If you'd like to receive updates, follow us at tehalia.my on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter page. And finally, if you're a poet and would like to be featured on Poet X, email me at azam@tehalia.my. That's all from us at Poet X tonight. My name is Azam Raiz, and good night, everybody.